Today, to talk about the book, God Made Me in His Image, Helping Children Appreciate Their Bodies, we have Justin Holcomb. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about this topic and help encourage some parents and caregivers.
Yes, and definitely in this culture, we got to make sure we're teaching and understanding God's image.
That's the key, is we have a great message for, you know, us as adults, but also the children in our lives, about how God's disposition toward them as His images and what that means. So it'll be fun to unpack that specifically with the issue of, you know, how children think about their body image.
And where do we find you this morning? Where you live? Where are you at?
I live in Orlando with my wife and two daughters who are now 11 and 13. So I am speaking from a little bit of experience, given the fact that I have daughters who are 11 and 13. And so we're in the middle of this, but there's a lot that has taken place on this topic well before they reached 10. So
tell us a little about you and your wife, your background. How'd you come to get to this point to writing a book like this?
Yeah, married for 16 years, and I'm a seminary professor and a minister. So I teach theology to soon-to-be pastors and talking a lot about Bible theology. And my wife, when we met, she was a survivor advocate for mostly women who experienced abuse, different types of abuse, and she would work at an emergency shelter and a resource agency, abuse survivors. And we started, when we got married, we started writing books for survivors, different types of abuse. And then we thought, well, we want to get on the front end of some of these issues. And so we wrote a children's book, not this one, it's the one before it, called God Made Me, which is to help children protect their bodies, doing the best we could to help parents and caregivers, help children protect their bodies from abuse. Again, a child's responsibility in the sense of, you know, they shouldn't have to do this, but what can we teach children? And we started realizing there's other topics that would be helpful for children, like body image. So we started thinking, what are some of the most difficult topics that parents and caregivers need to address children in their lives? And how can we create resources for them? And so this new book called God Made Me in His Image, we realized, just looking at the statistics, that body image is a huge issue for many children. We can go over the stats in a second of why this is a thing, but that's where it came from, was my wife and I realizing we want resources like this. We don't have the resources like this. And so we're going to make the resources that we needed as parents. And that's where it came from, was just out of a deep need for ourselves, but other parents who are Christians, having Christian resources on very important topics, because the Christian faith has a lot about these topics.
Now, being a dad and having two boys, you know, around the teenage years or preteens, you have the talk. That's hard enough, but and I know that's not what you really talk about here in the book, but still talking to children about this type of thing is kind of tough. How did you glean from to understanding and how you would approach kids about their bodies?
Yeah. Well, just so you know, the book we just finished and submitted is coming out in a few months is on that topic, which is helping parents start the conversation about reproduction. And so that's the third book, is so sexual abuse prevention, body image, and where are babies? You know, where do babies come from? So the great question. So what we learned is people tend to postpone difficult conversations until too late. There's, you know, if you haven't done it yet, start these conversations now. But what we learned is it's not awkward for the parents, because we have so many things wrapped up into it. For a child, it's just information. And so one is start early and often. Just make it a normal conversation that's not like freighted with, okay, now sit down. The parents' tone and body language and intensity is what makes it so awkward. If you're just like, hey, no, we're talking about normal life and this is information you need to know, the same way you would, you know, this is how you brush your teeth. This is this is how social interactions work, like just the general parenting information. So, but most people wait to get awkward when you should have this, the drip method, have lots of smaller conversations. Another thing is asking questions. Instead of lecturing them, ask questions. Hey, what have you noticed about your classmates and how they talk about their body? What have you noticed? Has anyone said anything to you? Like, what does it feel like, you know, when you watch TV and people talk? What does it make you think like? I mean, asking questions, because children, they're smart. And they, when they are the ones purveying the wisdom that they alongside and say, I totally agree with that. Let me say some more on that. That sinks in a little bit better, but it's not one station, it's lots of smaller ones. And let them ask questions. Parents frequently say too much when there's certain things that we would say as parents that children weren't even worried about or thinking about yet. So let them kind of lead how much you say. Like on the how babies are made, you know, God takes apart from mom and apart from dad. Well, our girls lasted a year and a half that phrase. Later on, they wanted to know, well, how does that take place? And you say more. So I think go at the child's speed, not the adult speed.
That makes sense. So you ask questions, get an idea where they are at in the process?
Yeah. And then you find out what topics you need to cover. Because sometimes parents go in and say too much or get too detailed when they don't need to. So follow their lead. Because, you know, we have in our mind all the things that we think we need to talk about. But for them, they need, like, two of them. We're over-prepared. And we go in with, like, here's my list of 10 things that I need to say. The only questions they have are very basic, like, two out of those 10. So asking, like, hey, what do you think about body image? Or how do you think about your body? Like, what are words you would use for your body? That's a fascinating question that you get a lot of great answers from. I'm strong, I'm, you know, fast. How do they think about that? And that gets the conversation going.
And God made me in his image. What age group is this most targeted for?
3 to 8 years old. It's a picture book, so we actually have a great illustrator who we have known for years. And it's a bunch of children who go to a safari zoo looking at animals. And the reflection on the animals' bodies relate to issues that the children are thinking or talking about them. The elephant in the big ears, the spots on the leopard, the rhino with a missing leg. Those all relate to different things that the children are actually discussing. We think 3 to 8 because we want to get the conversation started early and talking about us. And so there's a basic thing that 3 to 4 year olds will get out of that. And then the little bit later of the 7 to 8 year olds, is a little bit more reflective on a solid biblical image and appreciation of how God made them. And so trying to get that as a foundation. So 3 to 8 is the age. It's both the vocabulary and the images. Illustrations work better for that age group.
We're talking with Justin Holcomb, along with his wife, Lindsay. They wrote the book, God Made Me in His Image, Helping Children Appreciate Their Bodies. So what specifically, Justin, what topics do you get into in the book for children?
Well, we're going for foundational. Let me kind of give you some of the reasons, just real quick. The reason we're addressing this is 5-year-old girls whose mothers report dieting are twice as likely to have images about their own body, about food restriction. And half of American children between 6 and 8 are worried about their weight. So half of all 6 to 8 year olds are actually concerned about their weight. Hmm. Half of 9 year olds are already dieting. And 80% of 10-year-old girls have dieted at least once. I mean, 80% of 10-year-olds. My daughters are 11 and 13. And so by the age of 10, 1/3 of all girls and 25% of boys say how their body looks is their number one worry. So what we address, so that those are the reasons, because when we tell people we wrote a book about body image, most people go, oh, kids don't really care about that until they're teenagers. I'm like, no, it's well before preteen, well before teenager. We're worried about it from 6 to 10. That's a number one issue for a large amount of children. So what we're trying to do is we don't address specific issues. Most children are worried about their height, they're too tall, they feel like they're too tall or too short, their size, because they're either too skinny or they feel like they're too large, their hair color, their hair texture, their skin, do they have freckles, are they tan enough, is their skin darker than other people, what does that mean? So we go for a whole host of broad categories. So we do have one child is thinking about the size of his ears because his brothers made fun of him. And so that's where we connect with the elephant and how God made the ears and what ears are used for. And instead of him focusing on the shape of his ears, focusing on the importance of listening to his friends. There's a girl who has frizzy hair and lots of freckles. Well, then she is, there's a giraffe that is, has leucism, which it doesn't have its spots and it's supposed to, and it's all white. And so it's this pigment thing. And so we just have her reflecting on skin and how important it is and the variety of ways God made different creatures with different skin and different patterns. We have a girl that has a birthmark, thinking through that, a birthmark on her face, and she's reflecting on the rhino that's missing a leg and what is that like. So we tried to pick very broad categories. We didn't want to get into obesity or body size because we thought we're going to lay the foundation and let the parent and caregiver apply this as needed. We didn't want to reinforce anything that many children would be thinking. So we went very broad about reflecting on the body, how God made it, and all of the way made these bodies are for specific purposes that glorify him and are gifts to ourselves and gifts to each other. So it's a broad foundation from which the parent can apply as needed. And so we have to do that because, you know, one of our daughters is a little bit shorter than her peers. And then another daughter is a little bit taller than her peers. And so children can be pretty cruel because, well, they're sinners too. And because they've learned from their parents, what's been to how parents actually reinforce negative. Moms are kind of the worst because they end up talking about their dieting or their body in front of girls and boys. My wife and I are shocked at how often we have actually heard women, you know, watch them grab a part of their body and talk about how gross or big or wrong it is, and they need to, I'm eating salad because I need to get rid of this. And they're doing this in front of children. Or the way that dads talk about women or their own bodies, parents are creating and fostering the problem more than they know they are by their own issues with their own body image. And so you know, the way we talk about food, you know, there's good food and bad food. There aren't categories kids need to have. There's anytime food and sometimes food. Like, there's healthy ways of talking about food. There's healthy ways of talking about weight and working out. Like, are you working out because you feel like you're too big, or are you working out because you want to be healthy? How you talk about that at the dinner table, how you talk about bad food, I work out so I can lose weight, versus, oh, that's, you know, we'll have some dessert later. We don't eat that all the time. We'll have some dessert later. But I worked out and I want to be healthy, and that sugar is not going to help me. There's being more reflective on the way we do that is beneficial for the children in our lives.
Yeah, so that must be a tough balance because you've got to eat healthy. You've got to diet, watch your diet, but not get to that two extremes. You get doing it for the wrong reasons, but then eating right. So you can distinguish that in the book?
No, we don't get into the food issue. We have a letter to the parents in the front, and then we have some wisdom for parents in the back. So the front explains what we're doing in the book. The back matter is more practical stuff. But because we want them to start thinking about it at the base level, we address body image and body issues and body size. What we don't get into is obesity or food restrictions because that the parent needs to thread the needle on those. We put the ball on the tee for them, and we show them where to swing, and they can swing as hard or as soft as they want to and in what direction they want to, but we put the ball on the tee so parents can kind of take it from there.
Of course, there's biblical perspective. How do you weave that into all of this?
Well, that's the key because the fact that God started out Genesis with saying, hey, I created day one, day two, day three, everything was good. When God got to humans, he called that day where he created humans good, good, very good. In Hebrew, it's called Tov, T-O-V, Tov Tov. And so we highlight the fact that God really likes his creation, but God especially likes his creation of humans. And so we're highlighting that in itself, just the fact that God called humans good, good. And then we go to the fact that God made us in his image, because, you know, in the ancient Near East, and we actually get into this in the book. This is kind of fun, where I get to be a seminary professor for children. The idea of being an image of God is spectacular, because, you know, Moses wrote Genesis to a bunch of Israelites who were slaves in Egypt. So he's reading Genesis. God inspired Moses to write Genesis, the word of God. The original audience were people who were leaving Egypt on their way to the promised land, and they didn't think they were very special. They were treated horribly. They were used by the Pharaoh to make buildings, and they were not given good food and all those resources, but God was faithful to them. And so when Moses said, when God created humans, he made Adam and Eve in the image of God. Well, they would have heard image of God and thought, that's an amazing phrase. Well, why is that so amazing? Because a Pharaoh or a king who is king over a domain would set up images of himself all around his kingdom to indicate, I'm in charge of this. And that's what God was doing. God was making humans to say, hey, I'm in charge of this, and you, as a human, you're like a statue of the king. I'm the king, and you're like the statue of that. So they had a category. The original readers of Genesis had a category for, we're the image of God? Just like a pharaoh has statues of himself, if you deface the pharaoh, it's like you're offending the pharaoh directly and personally. And it's the same way with God. God saying Zechariah about, I think it's 2:8, or maybe it's 2:4, but whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. If they hurt you, it's like they're hurting me. So being the image of God is filled with great dignity and honor. We are inherently worthy because we are images of God. So that's something that Christianity brings to the table about image, esteem, and body image that other religions don't have that category for. Humans are the image of God, and that comes with great dignity and respect. And it was shocking for the original readers of Genesis, and we want that to be equally shocking, that there's nothing else, and this is one of our favorite lines to children in the book, there's nothing else in all of creation that better reflects God than you. I mean, that's a powerful thing to say. You reflect God better than anything else that God has made. You and all the others. And so that gives worth and dignity to that individual child, but it also sets them up to view other people through that category, not just themselves. And if we have a bunch of children thinking about themselves and other people as images of God, that's a way better world to live in.
We're talking with Justin Holcomb, author of the book, God Made Me in His Image, Helping Children Appreciate Their Bodies. And I see the children in here, the illustrator has, you know, different races and ethnicities of children as well. Was that intentional?
Absolutely. One, because representation is important for children to see people that look like them. So we have different hair color, we have different skin color, we have different sizes, and that was very intentional because we want, especially because of racial ethnic diversity, that becomes a point where questions of body image are intensified. Skin color, skin tone and pigment and hair. There's different questions that my daughters have about hair than their African-American friends about hair. There's different questions about height than different, height and skin color. So, I mean, that's being represented on purpose because the conversations about body image follow exactly the diversity that's reflected in the book because children are most comfortable with people who are like them. And the people who are different, whoever that is, whether it's Asian children, Caucasian children, Latino children, Black children, whoever is the majority whoever's different is the one that stands out, who ends up having things pointed out about their difference from the majority group. And so we wanted to make sure that we kind of had every possible thing diversity represented. And that's also the picture of Revelation. You know, at the end, it'll be a whole bunch of really different people, different tribes and nations and language and skin colors and body size. Like, the picture at the end of Revelation of the people who are worshiping the Lamb is a really diverse collection of people from all over the world. And since America is pretty diverse in who is here and who lives here and the significant diversity, this is a real reality for many of our children. And so setting them up both to view themselves in that context, if they're, you know, majority, minority, depending in the group they are in, or how they think about the other people who are different from them, and making them more aware of it. So that was very intentional, and I'm glad you noticed it. Some people have not really paid attention to that. That's a good eye.
Cool. We're talking with Justin Holcomb. The book is called God Made Me in His Image, Helping Children Appreciate Their Bodies. Justin, where can people get a hold of this book, and how can they? And tell us again about your other book and the book soon to come.
The best way, honestly, is any local bookstore can order it for you. Amazon has is super easy, and they usually have significant discounts. So I send people to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. The publisher also, New Growth Press, will have books available for order, especially in bulk if you wanted to get them for church purposes. So God Made Me His Image and God Made All of Me, they're bundled together on Amazon also. You can get both of those together. We recommend that. And if they want to get more information on this topic, justinholcomb.com. That's Justin, H-O-L-C-O-M-B.com. We have a few smaller blog posts on there about body image, going through the more in-depth on the theology of the Imago Dei, the image of God. And so there are some other additional resources about that, the topic we've been discussing for this book.
Awesome. All right. So, again, your website?
JustinHolcomb.com. Justin, H-O-L-C-O-M-B, as in boy, .com.
The book is God Made Me in His Image, Helping Children Appreciate Their Bodies, by Justin and his wife, Lindsay Holcomb. Justin, thank you so much for chatting with us this morning. Enjoy the conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to shine a light on this, and hopefully it will serve a bunch of children and parents for the future on this topic. So I appreciate the time to talk about this.
Oh, glad to. Thank you.